Join me in Luke chapter 2. We will return to our study of 1 Samuel in a couple of weeks. Got a couple of different things we want to do over the next couple of weeks, but we will get back to Samuel and Saul and those. But first of all, Luke chapter 2. And we have just celebrated, as I pointed out to the children, Christmas. And as I stated Wednesday evening in our candlelight service here, the birth of the Christ child was, or is, the most significant event in all of human history. Now, from a secular point of view, you certainly wouldn't make that claim, but from a biblical, spiritual point of view, you must. That the birth of the Christ child changed all humanity forever. And even those who do not call on Him as Lord or know Him as Savior are still affected by Him. Try it sometime. If you're in a mixed crowd where you know there are non-believers, mention the name Jesus Christ. Or if you're in a crowd with believers, mention the name Jesus Christ. You will get a reaction. Quite an impact by a little baby. Born in poverty, extreme poverty. Born in a cow's stall to an unknown family in a little obscure Middle Eastern village. Yet this child grew into the man we know as Jesus Christ, died on the cross, was raised that Sunday following, and as I've said, humanity, history was changed forever. But this morning I asked the question, what happened after Christmas? What happened after Christmas to this small baby? Join me in Luke chapter 2. I will begin reading at verse 22. Verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel and the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then was a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, if you would please turn to Matthew chapter 2 as well. verse 1 through 18, Matthew's account of what happened in those days and weeks following the birth of the Christ. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise man, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all the region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise man. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." May the Lord add the blessings to the reading of his word in this account of the weeks following our Lord's birth. First, in Luke chapter 2, we have the wonderful story of Simeon, a devout and righteous man. He was told that he would not die until he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, referred to it as the salvation of Israel. And here from this account, we read that Simeon blessed the Lord for the peacefulness that he had brought to him and the fulfillment of the prophecy that he had given Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Christ. And then he worshiped him. And hereafter, Simeon, during that same time in the temple, the prophetess Anna approached the young couple and the new baby. And she, being a great worshiper of God, knew the prophecy, and the Spirit was about her as well, and she came and also worshiped the young Jesus Christ and gave thanks to God. Not only that, she became the evangelist. She went out and told everyone about the Christ child and his birth and about him being in the temple. And we are told in these stories, great honor and worship was given to the Christ child. God, through the Holy Spirit, had enlightened these two that they might come and know the child and worship him. And then sometime later, after the event of Simeon and Anna, there is the visit of the Magi as recorded in Matthew. They came to honor the child and gave him gifts. One of the most moving scenes for me, if you've watched the Nativity. We forgot to watch it this time. If you've watched the Nativity, that scene where the wise men come up to the place where Jesus Christ was born. Two of them in the movie, very devout. One not quite believing. But yet, when this one who not quite believed all of this witnessed the Christ child, he was moved to believe in him. And it's a stirring and moving moment for me. Because I think, like many, it's hard to believe sometimes all of this stuff. But yet, when you visually see the effect and see the presence of Jesus Christ, for this man physically, for us spiritually, you're moved. And so in the movie, the Nativity, and when that wise man sees, it is quite moving. But here in these passages, briefly, we are introduced to individuals who recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as being that, the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a child. And they brought honor and worship to him as he is accorded, which he deserves. But then there's King Herod. King Herod tried to trick the wise men into telling him where the Christ child was. And under the premise of wanting to worship the child as well, in reality, as we read the story, he wanted to kill him. And when he could not find the child, King Herod did one of the most heinous things. This is not the first time that children less than 2 years of age were killed trying to destroy God's people. But King Herod ordered that all 2-year-old males and less be killed. His desire was to kill the Christ child. He couldn't find him, so he just killed everybody of that age. And as the prophet Jeremiah pointed out, the voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentations. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more. How old is Liam? 2? 3? 2? How old is Shire? 3? How old is the young lady? Back there. 2? Lily? Let that sink in for a moment. That all of the children of that age, and I'm sure they didn't pull out birth certificates and direct it to a date. If the child looked anywhere close, I'm sure they were taken. Horrible, horrible sin and acts of violence, all because of the name Jesus Christ. To save the boy's life, an angel came to Joseph, told them that they should flee to Egypt from Bethlehem. While I was in Egypt back in the mid-90s, I had opportunity to visit a place where they believe the Lord Jesus Christ lived for those several years. And it's in a magnificent church today. But it was under the chancel area. The chancel area is about 4 times the size of this one. And there was a little opening over here where the piano sits and a door about 3 foot tall. And you could see underneath there, and there was a little apartment. And the ceiling was about 5 feet tall. And they believe that's where Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus lived for his years in Egypt. So after Christmas, after the birth of the Christ child, these relationships, 4 encounters, were a part of Jesus' life. 4 encounters, the wise men, Herod, Simeon, and Anna. 3 who wanted to worship and honor him, and 1 who wanted to kill him. This is what our Lord Jesus faced, the good and the ugly. This is what the Lord Jesus faced in his first few weeks of life. But please know, these relationships with our Lord Jesus Christ were not confined to his early weeks of life. They are not confined to the first century, which we find this story. Nor were these relationships confined to our Lord's lifetime. Our Lord Jesus faces these same relationships today. There are those who will worship, and there are those who desire to kill. For you see, we the people throughout the world today, we are these relationships. We are the Simeons, the Annas. We are the wise men, even the reluctant one. And as sad as it is, but as obvious as it is to everyone in this room, there are the King Herods. Think about it. Why did King Herod want to kill the Jesus? Why did King Herod want to kill the Christ? Why did he go to such degree, such extent, to kill all the children? Selfishness. Self-centered. You see, King Herod was the ruler of his own life. King Herod was the ruler of his own world. He was, although he's never referenced this way, but kings many times find themselves in this place, he was godlike. Because being king, he made the rules. Being king, he gave life or death. And so here, this small infant challenged the very world that King Herod had built. How many ideas of our created world does Jesus Christ affect, challenge? Because you see, we easily could be King Herod. Not physically killing the child, but spiritually killing the idea, the teaching, the name, the influence, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, we like ruling our own lives. We like being in charge. We like having it done our way. We like being the ruler. Even subtly. When we don't get things our way, we react, we respond. Just like Herod, there are many who worship themselves and worship the world they've created. And just as I said in the beginning, Jesus Christ, the simple name Jesus Christ, is an effect on that world. When you call Jesus Christ Lord, that means you're giving up your world and you're taking His. Giving away everything and taking His. Just like Herod, we like to do away with the idea of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ said these very penetrating words. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, as you dive into the language setup of this, please notice that each one of these nouns, way, truth, and life, there is the definite article. Please excuse the grammar language. The. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Which means there's only one. In the original language, it does not say, "I am a way," or "I am a truth," or "I am a life," which would lead us to believe there are several. But no, the primacy of the way, the primacy of the truth, the primacy of the life is what Jesus Christ is giving, is what Jesus Christ is saying. He said, "I'm the way, not your way. I am the way. If you want to see the Father, you must come through me." See, that challenges our world. That challenges our thinking. that challenges the way we live, especially we Americans. We are spoiled. We are spoiled. In my last years at Duke Energy, if I taught one customer service training class, I taught 1,000. And whatever the customer wanted was what the customer got. All industry is built that way now. And we are spoiled. And if we don't get our way, we will show out. But Jesus Christ doesn't say, you get it your way. This ain't McDonald's. Yes, thankfully, there are the Simeons sitting in this room. Thankfully, there are the Annas sitting in this room. Worshippers of Jesus Christ, followers of the way, bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. But we must also admit there are literally the King Herods. And then there's a little bit of King Herod in all of us. These relationships, Herod, Simeon, Anna, the wise men, they all faced the Lord Jesus Christ after his birth, his first few weeks of life. And we are these relationships today. Yes, we love celebrating Christmas. We love celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of the singing and all of the gift giving and all of the eating and all that goes along with it. But then after all that is gone, where do we stand before the Christ child? Where do we stand in our relationship to him? Is it Simeon? I have seen your salvation. Is it Anna, who blessed God and then went out and told? Is it the wise men? Just as we bring our gifts, our offerings, and our tithes, do we do it humbly, joyfully, giving all and traveling? The burden it took for the wise men to get there. Or are we Herod? Trying to deny and kill the influence of Jesus Christ in our life. After Christmas, do we recognize this child as the Christ? Do we recognize him as the Son of the living God? I pray we do.